Hulu finally delivered the ability to download shows this week, and we discuss why you probably can't use it and might be disappointed with it anyway. Disney is used to getting its way in content deals. We discuss why that might not work with Amazon as the company struggles to get Disney Plus on Fire TV devices. Let's get started.
And welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon is with me as always from End Screen Media. Hey there, Colin.
Hey, Will. I'm here in sunny California today and have been really busy this week. There's been lots of news around some of the bigger SVOD and online TV providers this week. And I think we're going to hit two of the biggest, right?
Yeah, we were both excited to read this week that Hulu announced that downloading to mobile devices, at least a certain subset of mobile devices anyway, has been enabled. And we've both been looking for Hulu to add this feature really for almost about a year and a half or so. They first teased it at back at their NewFront presentation in May of 2018. So they finally did announce it this week, which is great. Some limitations on it, which I think you're going to talk a little more about. You've done a little more of the analysis on what percentage of their subscribers will be available to. But it's really just for its subscribers that use the no ads plan. That's the $11.99 per month plan. So if you are getting sort of the basic plan, the Hulu plan with ads, which is $6 a month, then you would not be able to use the download feature, at least not yet anyway. They have talked publicly about the fact that about 70% or so of their subscribers do take the ad-supported plan. So it's a subset, again, that are going to be able to get to this download feature. And it's only for iOS devices right now. So Android, not yet. My hunch is that that'll come pretty soon. And Hulu, it's good to see Hulu in this with this feature, because virtually all the other SVOD services, Amazon, Netflix, Showtime, CBS All Access, et cetera, have been offering a mobile video download feature for quite some time. And I think it's pretty much a mainstream feature at this point. I think that lots of folks that are subscribing to services now fully expect that they'll be able to watch offline. And that's important for lots of different reasons, because as we all know, you don't always get access to high quality Wi-Fi. There are times when there's no Wi-Fi available at all. Lots of people still have limited data plans from their carriers, and streaming video is, even if you can get it with good quality, it still eats up a lot of your data plan. So lots of really good reasons, lots of really good use cases for wanting to watch offline. And good to see that Hulu's finally joined the party.
Yeah, I agree. I was really excited to see the announcement too. As you say, a long time coming. They did say it was that they planned to deliver it at latest summer 2019. So they certainly managed the at latest part. But I got to tell you, Will, you know, I'm a Hulu user. There's lots of stuff I love to watch on Hulu. I would love to be able to download this, watch it at the gym, watch it on flights. I can't. I'm one of these people who can't. And I qualify on one count. I do subscribe to the ad-free plan, but not on the other. I am not an iOS user. And this set me thinking, well, how many people realistically can use this? And I think last year, wasn't it at your show, Will, earlier this year?
Yeah.
That Hulu said that they had, that 70% of their subscribers were signed up to the cheaper plan with ads. Wasn't that at your show?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So okay. So right there, 70% of folks do not qualify. So that leaves you with 30%. But here's the thing. It turns out, you know, supporting iOS is great, but it's only half the market. You know, if you look at the split between Android and Apple, it's about 50%, right, both ways. So what that really means is that only 15% of Hulu users can actually use that. So that's about 4 million folks. So the vast majority of us can't use it. So I'm really, really disappointed about that. And I bet they are too. I bet they're frustrated at only being able to support that many at the moment.
I think it's a fair criticism. Again, I guess my assumption is that Android's going to follow pretty quickly. So this was kind of a getting started tactic.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you're right, Will. We don't know that for sure, but hopefully you're right. But here's the thing. When you actually get in there and look at it, it's kind of limited. So if you compare it with the efforts from, say, Netflix or Amazon, it really is very, very basic functionality. And I'll give you an example. You mentioned a great way of managing disk space and bandwidth used. Well, one of the really good features that a lot of the services supporting download provide is the ability to control the quality of the video that you get. So, you know, if you select a lower quality, that means it's a lower bandwidth stream. It means it stores a lot less on disk and probably downloads a lot faster, right? So this is great. It's a great way of controlling those two things. And Hulu does support that, but it really only gives you two settings. It gives you a standard and a high, and it really doesn't tell you what the savings are going between those two. So when you compare this to Amazon, for example, Amazon is great. They give you four settings, and what's more, they tell you exactly how much space you're gonna save by going to a lower setting. And I can tell you, you know, you can actually, I usually download when I'm downloading from Amazon at the second lowest setting, which is better. I usually go good, and there's actually better and best above that, and the viewing quality is absolutely great. So, you know, that's just an example. There are many, many other features that Hulu either hasn't supported or gives very, you know, lukewarm support to. So I was, even those people that can use it, yeah, you can download, but it is very, very basic support.
Yeah, and again, I think it's kind of a getting started feature right now. And your point on Amazon is well taken. They were, I think, the earliest, or at least one of the earliest SVOD providers to enable mobile video downloading. And they've continued to enhance that feature over the years. And so now, as you said, they have four different levels of video quality you can download, plus lots of other features that we won't bother getting into here today. But, I think it's still early days here in a sense. There's a lot of growth opportunity in the mobile video downloading space. And, you know, we're focused here on SVOD. And as we're saying, Hulu is offering this with the no ads service only, and I think there's a huge opportunity actually for ad-supported downloads, which we really haven't seen much of. It's a much more complicated feature to enable, and that's why it's mainly been in the SVOD space for now. But there's a whole lot of room as you think about folks being able to download videos and have their ads updated and recorded and so forth.
Right. That is certainly true, Will. Doing ads is very, very much more difficult than doing just straight SVOD, no ads. But the truth is, you know, there are solutions out there, right, that Hulu could have just gone out and purchased. They just didn't. They just decided to develop this in-house. I know the majority, well, last time I checked, Hulu developed a whole platform. So they're probably developing this as well. And this is a situation where maybe buy versus build would have been a better decision, because it would have got them great feature set right out the gate.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And by the way, you know, one other whole class of services that doesn't offer mobile video downloading is the virtual MVPDs.
That's right.
You know, you and I are both subscribers, and lots of other people are as well. And while it's great to be able to record things in the cloud, none of them, to my knowledge, have enabled the ability to download any of those recordings to your mobile device And that's a feature that TiVo, which of course was the DVR pioneer, they enabled that feature like 6 or 7 years ago already. So I think that a lot of virtual pay TV subscribers would be happy to just get a basic download feature right now, even if it didn't have different quality levels and everything else, because that would add so much value to these services.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, most of the virtual MVPDs also have a pretty good on-demand library, and you can't even download those either. So, you know, lots of room for improvement in this market, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's move on to our second topic that you mentioned at the top of the podcast today, which is this battle that we see emerging between Disney and Amazon related to Disney Plus being available on the Fire TV devices, although that's not really even the root of the issue. So you wanted to talk a little bit more about that and really why Disney is potentially on the shorter end of the stick, no pun intended.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, so there were two issues that were actually jumping around in the news, and let's talk about this problem with Fire TV. So I saw some reports that said that they thought that really this was a big problem for Fire TV because they won't have Disney Plus when it launches. I actually disagree. I think this is a much bigger problem for Disney. So we'll take this in two parts. In the US, the market is basically split between Amazon Fire TV and Roku. Roku is in the lead, and if you include Roku smart TVs, they are far, far ahead actually in the market. But just looking at the sticks and boxes, you know, Roku is pretty handily in the lead. I think they've got like 30%, and Fire TV is second, but catching up fast. So I think it's like 20% of homes that have a streaming media player. So anyway, it's an important part of the market in the US, but not critical. You know, if you've got a Roku, if you've got an Android TV or a smart TV from Samsung, you're probably good to go. You can still get the Disney Plus. In Europe, this is pretty much a disaster. If they don't have support for Amazon Fire TV in the UK and Germany, they really don't have a shot, I think, at the majority of homes, because everybody's going to want to watch this on their TV. Endscreen Media, we released a report called the TV Universe Report earlier this year, and it basically looked at devices used in three countries, UK, Sweden, and Germany. And Fire TV is released in Germany and the UK. Actually, it just released in Sweden, but I don't have data for that yet. And if you look at the UK, basically 39% of those homes that watch online TV are using a Fire TV. The second place box is a box called Now TV from Sky, which is 20%, and Apple TV is 18%. So Fire TV pretty handily it's double the size of pretty much any of the competitors. You go to Germany, if you aren't on Fire TV, you aren't in people's homes. 61% of homes have a Fire TV that watch internet television. So in my mind, Will, this is a really big problem for Disney. If they can't reach agreement with Fire TV and with Amazon, then they're really going to struggle to grow in Europe, and particularly in places like Germany. It's just going to be a really uphill battle, because let's be honest, are people really going to go out and buy a new device to get Disney Plus? No, they're probably going to wait and think, well, support is going to come. So that, I think that, you know, they probably will reach agreement, but the pressure, I think, very much is on Disney to figure out how to make this work. So why don't you tell us about the first part, the disagreement that they're having, that we think they're having on the ads.
Right. That's the funny part of this whole story, is that from the reporting anyway, which we both read the Wall Street Journal article report, from the reporting, it seems like the disagreement isn't about carrying Disney Plus itself. The disagreement is that Amazon appears to be wanting to sort of hold up Disney Plus in pursuit of trying to get access to some of the ad inventory on Disney's other apps, that appear on Fire TV. So apparently they're looking for 30 to 40% of the inventory, and Disney is countering with around 10%. We know that advertising is incredibly important growth area for Amazon. They're now the clear number three in the market after Google and Facebook. So it's no surprise that they're sort of looking at this as an opportunity to help grow their video, their ad monetization, in this case, their video ad monetization. It's no surprise, but Disney Plus seems like it's kind of caught in the crossfire here. And I think it sort of goes to show how overlapping some of these different businesses, these huge media and technology companies with their various businesses now are. In the old days, Disney Plus, I think, would have been welcomed by Amazon because they were looking to help establish the Fire TV market. Now, as you point out, with Fire TV having such a nice percentage of homes in Europe and certainly here in the U.S. as well, they have increased leverage, so it's not so straightforward anymore.
Yeah, you bet it's not. And what this did for me, Will, is it really emphasized how partisan the internet television market is. It's like, you know, it's on this fabric that we think of as being at least relatively neutral and fair and even, and you know, anybody can play. But boy, not anybody can play in internet TV. You have to reach agreement with the big boys. And when you think about it, for big players like Disney, who have leverage, you have a lot of leverage, you know, this is one story. For the smaller players, they have very little leverage, and basically companies like Amazon can demand what the heck they like. And they, you know, people end up having to really agree and go along with it. And they've certainly been doing that in their Amazon channels. They change the rules there. That's their SVOD aggregation channel service, rather. And really, smaller providers had no choice whatsoever but to basically hand over half of their subscription revenue to Amazon for subscriptions that they got through that service, which is, you know, when you think about it, that is pretty extreme. Now, I'm no doubt that folks like Netflix and Disney Plus won't be doing quite so generous a gift, if you like, to Amazon for passage in channels. Well, Netflix isn't in channels, of course, but you know, that really emphasizes just how partisan the internet TV market is. There really is nobody neutral in this market anymore. Roku, who we could have, you know, a year or so ago, we could have pointed at and said was fairly neutral, even they're not neutral anymore because they have their own channel, the Roku channel, which is, I know it is a partner play. They are working with other providers on their platform. But even there, you know, it's still competitive with other, certainly AVOD platforms like Pluto TV and Zumo and Crackle. So there is nobody that's neutral. Everybody has an axe to grind. Everybody has an angle.
Well, everyone has a business model also. And I think this sort of harkens back a little bit to the world of pay TV, where the set-top boxes were, you know, in a sense, the gatekeeping device to get your content in front of audiences. And now with connected TVs becoming as popular as they have become and as well penetrated as they become, as you pointed out earlier, if you're launching a high profile service as Disney is doing with Disney Plus, you really need to be on the biggest devices, on the biggest gateways, because that's where your audiences are going to be. And if you're not, then you're creating friction for them. It's not like you can't still subscribe and get access on a mobile device that's supported, or even watch in browser on a laptop, which of course lots of people still do. But yeah, if you want to be on the big screen, you've got to figure out how to get deals together with the big connected device players.
You do, and it really highlights another thing, Will, which is how different this world is for Disney. Now, the other announcement this week was that Disney is basically not going to take any advertising for competitor SVOD services unless there is a strong partnership relationship between them. So what that basically means is they're saying no now to Netflix ads on ABC and some of their other properties, although for some reason they carved out ESPN. I'm not quite sure why. But they won't accept advertising from any SVOD service that has a partnership, that doesn't have a partnership. So I guess that means when HBO Max launches, they won't be able to advertise on Disney TV channels. But the, you know, the other exception could be NBCU's Peacock, because of course NBC / Comcast are in partnership with Disney on Hulu. So maybe they will take ads for Peacock. Who knows?
it's so convoluted.
It is a convoluted world, but you know, it just emphasizes on their TV channels, of course, Disney is in charge and they can throw their weight around, and they certainly are doing that. But you know, this is a very, very different world online, and yeah, everybody's vying for their spot.
Yeah, it's a lot of jostling right now. And when Disney Plus comes in, it's going to be more jostling. And certainly when Apple TV Plus comes in, and then we have the HBO Max and Peacock launches. So there's lots of new rules being written here in this space about who's going to do business with whom and under what terms. And I think the Amazon Disney one is really a classic we're going to want to keep a close eye on.
We certainly will. And you know, the other thing is, Will, it's a great time. I think that consumers are going to have lots of choice, and I know some people have been forecasting a bloodbath, but the truth is I think all of these services, if they're willing to stick with it and they have great content, they'll find their place. It may not be in every home, but they'll find an audience and they'll find a loyal following, and they'll probably be able to make some money. So it's a great time.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think we'll continue to try to demystify some of the convoluted relationships and dynamics that we both see in this market going forward on our podcast. So good chatting with you today, as always, Colin.
Yeah, you bet, Will.
And thanks, everyone, for listening on this week's edition of the Video News Endscreen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.